Giant's Voice.
The official podcast of the U.S. Navy's largest overseas installation, Commander Fleet Activities Yokosuka. This is the Giant Voice Podcast.
Welcome back to the Giant Voice Podcast. My name is MC2 Connor Hotelling, and I'll be your host for today's episode. The topic today, it's all about moving to CFAE and what our various tenant commands can do to help you out during that long process. When I moved here, I kind of had no idea what I was doing, and I didn't do a lot of research. And I didn't know about a lot of the entitlements and benefits that as a sailor, are entitled to. Because of that, we brought a lot of people in the studio today to talk about all the stuff you might miss when you're getting ready to PCS. We're also unveiling a new program that should help reduce the waste and harm to the environment during the PCS packing process. When you're PCSing, you end up throwing away quite a lot of cleaning materials and bulk trash and stuff like that. So we're going to touch on both aspects of those and try to hopefully point you in the right direction. Because sometimes when you're working on a military base, it's hard to know everything that's available to you. So stay tuned for that. We're joined today by Matt Morrison, a public affairs officer with NAVSUP FLC. We've got Louis Jewers. He has worked with Japan's Personal Property Shipping Office. We've got Commander Tyler Sharar, CFAE's own public works officer. And LSC Dinshal Adolfo, he's the NAVSUP FLC LCPO for the post office. And we also, a bit of a surprise, but we also have both LPOs for both Yokosuka and Iquitos post offices here today. And they're going to shed a little bit of light on getting your PO box set up when you arrive in Japan. This episode is packed with information, so I hope this can help in some way. So please kick back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Thank you. Okay, so for our first guest today, we'll have Louis Jewers, who is the Deputy Director of the Joint Personal Property Shipping Office. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
So, could I just get an overview of what you do and how you interact with CFAE?
Yeah, sure. So, our offices have 12 different personal property offices throughout the region.
Okay.
Here in Yokosuka, we have the Joint Personal Property Shipping Office, and we oversee all shipping household goods for all service members and DOD civilians throughout Japan, Guam, Singapore, and Diego Garcia. And we help members understand their entitlements, moving allowances, and assist in scheduling their household goods shipments all the way from the pack out up until delivery.
All right. Well, thank you. And appreciate having you on the show today.
Absolutely.
So our first topic's about preparing for your move, moving your household goods and stuff like that. Feel free to abbreviate them, HHG. I feel like we're going to be saying household goods a lot. So who do I talk to about setting up my household goods and the moving process?
Well, first and foremost, you're welcome to come to our office and see one of our counselors. But a lot of the information is already out there at militaryonesource.com. They have multiple different references that you can use. One is the 10 steps to the move process that gets you started before you even receive orders. And that helps you develop a plan or be organized. So basically, you want to know who to call and to know who to ask these questions to. But first and foremost is talk to your family and know where you want your household goods to go. I know we're going to talk about entitlements probably a little bit later, but you want to already have a game plan of where you want to send your items, either overseas or into a long-term storage, and make sure your family's on the same page. So when you do come talk to our counselors, you can have those answers to our questions already and you kind of have an idea. But if you don't know where to start and you don't know what questions to ask your family, come to our office and we'll definitely assist to get that thing to get your move started.
Thanks. And could we go over step by step what happens in the move process and what are some of the more important keynotes to remember?
The most important keynotes is knowing what's there and available at your new destination. So
right.
For somebody that's coming here to Japan, do your research on what housing provides to you. Understand your orders and go through your house to see what you might not need at the next duty station based on the location, housing issuances, and your weather. And understand coming into the counseling office and having that long conversation, don't think you're going to be there for 10, 15 minutes and know everything. Be ready to spend an hour to 2 hours with a counselor if necessary to go over your full entitlements. And then once you have that information, you could do the counseling right there, or you can go online when you're with your family and do the whole process online at Military One Source with our DPS program.
Thank you. And the notes here for the episode mentioned a packet that you have to fill out. Do you know anything about that?
So there is a pre-counseling worksheet. And
right.
Once we have that information, you do the pre-counseling worksheet. That's when we know you want to ship a vehicle, you want to ship your pets, you have EFMP, Exceptional Family Member Preference, where you need to do extra paperwork. That's the packet that we have. That's the first one you need to do. Once we know what you're going to be shipping, then we go back and ask for more information. But if you just have your orders in hands and you don't know where to start, just come to our office.
Okay, and do you see any common pitfalls that people fall into when they when they're filling out this sheet?
I would say the most common pitfall is not with just that filling out that sheet, but in general is not knowing your full entitlements, not doing your research, and not talking to our offices. Unfortunately, we do see where a service member sometimes will try to do everything on their own, but then get deployed right before delivery and the spouse is not informed of what's happening. So we have to assist with those situations. We do a lot of Facebook and we are on there to assist when people do post about that, but it's basically keeping your spouse informed of everything during the process and making sure you read the country instructions, especially here for Japan, to read the instructions to make sure you don't bring any unnecessary items or large bulky items that don't fit in family housing, because not everybody's going to get assigned to on-base housing.
Thank you. Anything I missed about that? Anything you want to go over?
How much time you got?
I got time.
No, I think our biggest thing is to create a moving binder starting early. And when you are planning your moves, don't plan them the same day.
Right.
So your different shipments that you're going to be sending to different areas, set those up on different days so things don't get packed up into the wrong shipment.
Thank you. So our next topic today is about the types of shipment and storage options. So I'm not quite familiar. Are there different storage options for shipping HHG?
So when you ship your household goods, so the different shipping options is, number one is unaccompanied baggage.
Right.
That's the items you want to make life comfortable while you're living in a hotel or temporary lodging, while you're waiting to get housing assigned to you, and while you're waiting for your household goods to arrive. Your household goods, your HHG shipment, that's the items that you're going to live with for the next 2 to 3 years. Your standard household good items that's going to make you and your family comfortable while you're here overseas. Anything that you're not going to use for the next 2 or 3 years, larger, bulkier items, your refrigerator, washer, dryer, lawnmower, outside gear equipment, that's the stuff that you want to keep into NTS, the non-temporary storage. That's government-funded long-term storage in the U.S. that's paid for while you are stationed overseas. And then when you get reassigned stateside, you can have that items released to your new location, no problem. When it comes to storage overseas, and this is why we ask people to definitely do their homework ahead of time, is know what you have room for and know what is going to be too bulky. Because once your items are shipped here, there's no entitlement to send it back to the U.S. So you basically have to keep it, you have to find a place for it for the next 2 or 3 years, even if you're not going to use it, or you have to dispose of it. Storage solutions here at CFE, while you're waiting for housing, if you haven't gotten housing and your items show up here, it will be stored at government funding for up to 90 days. If you need an extension on that, you just reach out to our office and we can assist with that. But once you receive housing, you do need to take all of your household goods that you had shipped overseas. There is the Navy Exchange self-storage available. It is limited. It's not part of the household goods entitlement, but you could definitely reach out to them at the NEX rental office at 243-4456, and they can definitely give you more information because they are open Monday through Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Thank you. How long can goods be stored at CFE before they're, you know, being required for delivery?
Well, shipment entitlements are typically up to 90 days at first.
Okay.
Everybody gets the 90-day entitlement, no problem. But if you do deploy or if there's an issue with housing, it's taking you longer or you were TDY for a long time and you're going to pass that 90-day mark, it's not a problem. Our office will reach out to you before your entitlements expire. You let us know your situation and we'll definitely work with you. But we do ask that people try to get housing as soon as possible to get your government, to get your household goods out of government storage. Nobody wants it in storage long anyways. So let's get it out. But
yeah.
you'll be surprised where people go on deployments for 6 to 8 months and it just sits here in storage. And then when they do get it, unfortunately, we do have small issues with mold where we assist with those types of claims.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And any options? Are there any options for sailors who don't have a lot of space in their new accommodations?
The best bet is the Navy Exchange storage facilities
that they
have here on base. Because the local agents won't store long term.
Okay, so third topic. Man, you're getting put through the ringer today.
It's all good. I'm ready for it. Come on.
Once the household goods have arrived and the process for setting them up or to set up a delivery. So, to set up a delivery, who should I be contacting?
So really, it's who's going to be contacting you.
So
when your household goods arrive and it's going through the customs process, your local agents are going to reach out to you and say, hey, your stuff is here. We should have it within 2 weeks. Are you going to be available?
That's when
the process starts between the local agents and the customer, the service member themselves. Contrary to what most people believe, is the personal property office typically does not schedule deliveries. Mm-hmm. We're here to assist in the process, but the delivery is scheduled between the member and the local agents. So they can work together, and we're just here to assist as necessary. But they'll reach out to you via email once it arrives. You respond with what days you're available, and then you guys work that process. Once they confirm your delivery date, they do let us know because we do have a process where we'll allow a QA inspector or quality assurance inspector to go out and just assist if there's any issues or concerns while the delivery is taking place.
Thank you. Do you have any sort of timeline for how long the overseas household goods shipments should take?
So currently, depending on the location where your household goods originated from, it could take between 77 to 117 days. To get to our new duty station.
Like I
said, it all depends on where you came from and how long those ships take to get here, because it doesn't come directly here. There is a shipping process. It's all done commercially. We have no control over it. It's really based on where you're coming from that takes the time. Now, your UB shipments do take a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your express shipment, they want to hear faster. Those go by air, and they're usually 35 to 45 days after pickup.
Got it. Thank you. And let's say it's all arrived. How would you recommend disposing of any packing materials or stuff like that come out of your household goods?
So your best bet is to let the local agents unpack your entire house.
Okay.
I know a lot of people don't like doing that. I'm one of those folks, actually, that I'd rather wash everything, look at everything, go through every box nice and slow, and I'll deal with the packing material later.
What are some resources available at CFAE for any sort of trash disposal?
So there is the bulk trash drop-off on base down on Rickett Drive, just past the Ronald Reagan on your right-hand side, and they will take your broken-down boxes and packing material.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, we're going to be talking about vehicle transport. I know a lot of people have trouble with that here. How should I start the vehicle transport process?
Okay, so this is one of those things where you just definitely let your counselors know up front. It's on that checklist when you start doing your entitlements. Yes, I want to ship a vehicle. But your best bet is to do the PCSMyPOV.com, or you can download the actual app in the App Store or Google Play, and it takes you through the process. It gives you the information. It tells you what forms are required. It tells you what you need to do to your vehicle prior to drop-off. And then with your drop-offs, it'll give you an actual reservation for you to drop off your vehicle. They will actually give you a link to a website to where you could track your vehicle, and that's for shipping and in storing. So when you store your vehicle as well, which we prefer, when you store your vehicle, they will do moderate maintenance on it, turn it on so the battery doesn't die. They'll check on it.
Okay.
And they actually upload that information to a website so you can see exactly what they're doing. Usually about once a quarter, they drive it 0.10 miles. To make sure it's running and everything like that. But shipping your vehicle, PCSMyPOV, either the app or the website, and come by our office. If you are shipping a vehicle to Japan, it does require a waiver from our office, so you will have to reach out to us for that.
Thank you. And what are some vehicle shipping challenges that are specific to Japan?
The biggest issue we have is people trying to ship Teslas.
Really?
Because Tesla US and Tesla Japan are not compatible. The charging stations do not match. So if you ship your US Tesla to Japan, you're going to be paying 50,000 to 70,000 yen just for a
right.
converter. Or you're going to be purchasing your own home charging stations, which could cost $5,000 to $7,000.
Okay. And what's CFE's stance on what vehicles are or are not allowed on base? You know, it could be anything from like scooters, motorized stuff, stuff like that.
I would say the smallest ones are the motorized electric scooters, skateboards, one wheels, things like that. But the vehicles themselves, you can ship them here. The motorcycles and the smaller CC'd motorcycles you can ship, and some of them will be on base only, and then some will be registered for on and off base.
Okay. Do you know where they get that kind of... Do you know where that gets registered to?
The information?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all done through the PCS My POV.
Okay.
They will provide you that information
Got
on
it.
Whether or not what you need to do to your vehicle and whether or not it's allowed to come here.
Thank you. And that's all I got for you, sir. Thank you. For our next guest, we have CFACE PWO. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Yes, thanks. Commander Tyler Schirar. I'm the Public Works Officer at CFE. I've been here about 2 years, and we run all of the facilities, utilities, transportation, and environmental services for the base.
Thank you. And you wanted to come on today to speak about this new program for hazardous product reuse. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So the environmental team started a new program in January this year. It's called the Household Hazardous Product Reuse Program. So we outlined several entities on base that will take different types of waste, and we're getting that onto the CFE website. It's called the CFE Waste Disposal Guide. And one of the areas we realized there was a gap was families coming in and out that may have some simple cleaning solutions or other things on the shelf, and they don't quite know where to put it, and we don't want it to end up in the waste stream. So we made this new program where families leaving or anyone can drop off clean, usable, U.S.-made household products, things like bleaches and household cleaners, oven cleaners, pesticides, isopropyl alcohol, and all that stuff can be on the shelf for any family or any base resident that needs to use it, and they can stop by. So if a family's arriving PCS and they need to pick up some household cleaners or products, they can stop by. There's Simple Green on the shelf, there's bleach on the shelf, and it's all free. And from the base perspective, this diverts it from ending up in our waste stream and having to be contaminating the environment through the trash process.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
So that program operates in the near the environmental hazardous waste yard. The best way to describe it is kind of diagonally across the street from the next auto port behind the government station. And there's some modular containers that have been installed and connected in the parking lot there. So we're manning it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 to 11, and Tuesday, Thursday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. So during those hours, the staff will be there to accept or issue free household products. So we especially hope as we start the program, the shelves are a little bit empty. So we especially hope families outbound will take advantage of this to, offload their usable, clean, U.S.-made household products. We also, as I mentioned, worked with other entities on base to document where people can get rid of things. I know that can be a challenge. Off base, the sorting is much more strenuous than on base, but we still require certain products to go to certain recycling sources. So the PWD-run qualified recycling program has a yard. It's also in vicinity, just behind the auto port and behind the next taxi operation. So the recycling program can take things like metal furniture and small appliances, textiles, clothing, used lube and fuel oils. Mm-hmm. And recently this year, we started cooking oils as well. So you can actually deposit used cooking oil, just put it in any jug, deliver it back there. And they're open from 8 to 3:30, Monday to Friday. And that way we can actually sell and make money on those recycled products, and we put that money back into the base through community projects. Two other venues that will accept used products: the Auto Skills Center is run by MWR. It's behind the next auto port as well. And they accept tires, engine oils, transmission fluids, car batteries, and other things you might think of that are could be hazardous waste coming off of a vehicle or recyclable waste. And then finally, the next car care center, that's the next shop that's attached to their auto port. And they accept other similar car products such as flares. You might know someone with an expired flare coming out of their car. propane tanks, coolants, engine oil, diesel gas. So please do use those venues to get rid of used products in an appropriate way. That helps us as we pick up the general recyclables and the general waste. We do sort those through a contract on base, but the more products we can get to the right venue helps protect the environment, lowers our cost of operations, and helps us sustain the base more efficiently.
Thank you, sir. And if I had any questions about what can or can go into these programs, who should I contact?
So that's one of the challenges. We are going to put this waste disposal guide on the CFA website. Mm-hmm. So if you Google, you know, CFA,
the CNIC site
that, you know, a lot of people use it for the airport shuttle information, the FAST team information. So there's some public works information there as well about how to fix a facility service request, or this waste guide will be there as well. Specifically for the environmental program on household hazardous reuse, 243-4100 is the DSN number. From a cell phone, that would be 046-816-4100. And the recycling yard is 243-3817. And of course, if you Google MWR Auto Center or Next Car Care, they also, of course, have their own lines.
All right, sir. That's all the questions I had today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll be moving on to the mail and post office services. I'll let you get adjusted there. Could you folks introduce yourself?
First of all, good morning. I'm Chief Adolfo. I'm the current LCPO and acting postmaster right now in Yokosuka in the Keigo post office. And then I have here Arswin Hughes.
Good morning. My name is Arswin Hughes. I am the LPO at the Keigo post office.
Oh. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Petty Officer Bryant, and I am actually the LPO for the Yokosuka post office on base.
All right. Thank you guys for coming today. The first question is about getting a post office box and whether or not you can do that prior to arriving at CFA. Is that an option?
To be honest, yes. So we get a couple options on that one. If the service members already have like their sponsors or helping them out before moving here, they can also request for a temporary box for the time being once they get here, and then when they fully arrive in Japan, we still need to see them in the post office so we can start the necessary paperwork and make sure they assign the right address box for them. Also, there's in the USPS, there's a website that they can do a change of address once they get their address from temporary address from us. The only caveat on that one is once they came to Japan, and because depending on whether they were going to be assigned any Keigo housing or Yokosuka housing, that's the only kind of difference on that one. Because if we give you an address here in Yokosuka, and once the family gets here, they were assigned any Keigo housing, then we have to do a change of address from moving from Yokosuka address to a Keigo address.
Thank you. And I guess that leads into my next question about changing addresses. Is that a way I can make sure mail gets forwarded to the correct address? Is there a way to do that?
Yes. So you would log on to USPS.com and then go to forwarding and change of address. You will be able to forward your mail for 12 months for free.
Oh, okay.
And then for an additional charge, you can forward for up to another 18 months. I'm not for sure what that charge actually is, because it depends, because you can forward from 6 months to 10 months to 12 months to 18 months. And it depends on how long that you want that forwarding.
Got it. Thank you. And Let's see. What are some of the other postal services that are offered by CFA?
So we do have regular priority, express. We also have first class, stamps, money orders, MPS. But we are a cashless facility, so we do debit and credit only.
Good to know. Okay. And what's the difference between a military post office and the USPS?
So a military post office, we do offer some different services, such as MPS, if you're not familiar with that. We do have a listing of where you can ship for free. Usually those are ships or other military post offices, ships within our AOR, which would be like 7th Fleet. The listing changes as the ships move, of course, but the other military post offices are usually like anything that is overseas, anything that is stateside or CONUS, we do not offer the MPS service.
Got it. And thank you.
For clarification on that one, that's including Guam and Hawaii. Those are still considered okay. U.S. territory.
Mm-hmm.
So MPS is not going to be available for those countries, for those areas.
Right. Okay. And I saw the notes here mentioned that there are some restrictions for shipping in MPSs. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So no liquids, lithium batteries, aerosols. Anything that could possibly, you know, explode during shipment or
right.
hurt anybody else's mail.
Yeah, don't want to blow anyone up. Yeah.
So for that one, also cigarettes and alcohols, those are big no-no.
Okay.
Also weapons like BB guns or airsoft guns, we don't accept those in post office, even though those, you know, those knife toys, something like that, as long as it's like not protruding and then can cause harm, we don't accept that in post office. Now, for the clarification with the batteries, like cell phones, if you guys are trying to send it back to stateside,
mm-hmm.
we accept those, but that would be processed in the slowest possible way, which is like it's going to go to like a container and then it's,
yeah, by boat, right?
And by boat, right. Yeah, by car service, because everything that we ship it with battery is going to have to go to Yokota for a military flight going back to the stateside.
Got it. And if I have a home business or something like that, can I ship goods through? You're already smiling. I can see you get this question a lot. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So military businesses is not something that you can use the military post office for.
Okay.
We do not offer any services for any type of home business. That includes any of like the online businesses that people have, mm-hmm. Like selling Pyrex and things like that.
Yeah.
All those services will be turned around and sent back to the sender. We do not accept anything.
Yeah. So what the customer, or if they're trying to do business, they can do Japan Post. They have to pay the actual fee for that one, because as you guys know, the difference between USPS and MPS, we are charged as domestic, even though we're international, because of the US. That's the difference between MPS and USPS.
Got it. Thank you. And that was going to be my next question. What are some alternatives? Seems like Japan Post is a pretty solid one. Any other?
They also have FedEx, DHL.
Okay.
The truck that comes in on base, and the for FedEx and DHL, once if you already have your package and everything, did your custom form prepaid and everything, you can just talk to them, see if they can accept it, or you know, drop off to that facility outside by, I think it was by Yokohama. They have a FedEx facility over there.
Okay, thank you. And before I ask the last question, I just wanted to make sure. In the notes, you mentioned something about software. What was that about?
So software is the software that we use for post office when delivering and receiving is, besides the USPS website, the AMPS, we also use Pindibos 360, which is the one that right now we're currently in place. That's the one that once we scan it over here, The customer will receive an email notification saying that they have a box ready for pickup in the post office. Now, of course, software is not always working, you know, in a perfect world. So I just, we advise customers, just if we have coming to run some issues, just be patient with us while we sort out things, you know, as we go by day when it comes to the system or of our software.
Oh, go for it.
We also have the Pitney Bowes lockers. So you will receive two different types of emails. So there's a certain email that you will receive if you need to come pick it up at the actual post office window, or if you need to go over to the locker system to go pick up your mail, which is a little bit easier. In the email, you'll get a code for the locker system, and you put in your code, and one of the lockers will kind of pop open, sort of stateside where the Amazon locker system.
So the good thing on that locker is 24/7 accessible for the customers. But we put packages on there from Monday to Saturday. So Sunday, they can still go in there. Unfortunately, for post office, Kago and Yokosuka, we are only open for package pickup from Monday to Saturday.
Thank you. All right, that's all the questions I had. Did any of the parties here speaking today, did you think I missed anything? Is there anything you'd like to go over real quick? Any plugins, shout-outs, anything like that?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to add that before you get here, you can, instead of just using your sponsor, you can also email Yokosuka Post Office at fe.navy.mil. Just submit your orders and your family entry approval, and we will assign you a box ahead of time. That way you already have a place to send your mail. Also, the people that we service, military, of course, civilians, you would need to provide your civilian orders. As a contract, you need, or a contractor, you need your TAD or TDY orders and your employment letter. And if you have family, of course, your family command sponsorship.
Thank you. All right. Did you have some?
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
So there is two quick things that I just want to make sure people understand. Is number one is pets. On the CFA Scenic page, it outlines the policies and rules for shipping your pets because it varies at each different installation.
Right.
So you make sure you get ahead of that kind of stuff because sometimes they have to do quarantines for over 6 months. So you need to start that process early.
Got it.
That was one of the things I definitely want to make a plug for. And number two was privately owned firearms. I know in the U.S. everybody loves owning their firearms, but here in Japan, there's a huge restriction on us.
Right.
Make sure they're not in your home at all when they're packing out your household goods, because these local agents are moving so fast that they may accidentally pack your weapon. And if they do that, then you're going to be responsible when it shows
right.
up here.
Okay.
So that's a huge issue. We just had it happen last year. This member paid almost $9,000 in customs inspections, removal, and destruction disposal of a small firearm. So make sure they're not in your house at all. Put it in your vehicle, put it at your mom and dad's house, put it with everything that they're not going to pack. Just get rid of it. And there are current restrictions on bow and arrows right now as well. You must receive written prior approval from the government of Japan prior to shipping any archery equipment to Japan. And all those documents are in Japanese, and they do not accept English translations.
Have you gotten many archers?
We have
on your
a
way
few.
To Japan?
We have a few. There's a few here. Again, 20 years ago, we had a firing range in Atsugi. We had bow and arrows in Nikkego. People would go to the archery areas. A lot of those, obviously, it's shut down in Atsugi, but you know they used to do the clay shooting and things like that in the area.
Right.
So they are getting rid of all that, but there are some archers or archery, or what do you guys call them here in Japan? Yeah, enthusiasts.
Know. Okay, well, that's all the questions I had.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much. Let's get out of here. It's really hot.
Appreciate you all for coming today.
And that's the episode.
That's everything I got, really.
I hope you have learned a little bit more about the PCS process. We'll also be running a story I wrote based off of some of the info from today's episode, which will be going out on the next My CFA Weekly shortly after the release of this episode, so make sure to check that out. As always, if you've got any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email us over the CFA Public Affairs Office at yokosukareport@gmail.com. That's yokoskareport@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I hope packing up goes well, and have a good one.
The Giant Voice Podcast is a production of Commander Fleet Activities Yokosuka Public Affairs Office. The views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the policy of the Department of the Navy or Department of Defense. Thanks for listening.